2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let me read one verse and say a few things on this verse that the Lord lay on our heart, and then we'll go further. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Now, if you're familiar with 1 and 2 Corinthians, I am so thankful that God put these two books in the Bible. I am so thankful that we have the recordings of these two books, 1 and 2. They do believe that there might even been a third letter that was written, but for some reason or another, it's not in the canon. It's not in the text here. But we got all we need in 1 and 2 Corinthians. It really points out the fallacy in mankind. And it also points out to the problems that we face in church life. Now, remember, the church here, as we know it, is not yet perfect. We are filled with imperfect people. We make mistakes. We say things that we ought not say. We do things that we ought not do. And so we know that there is no such thing here as a perfect church. Here, as we know it. Amen. Now wait. One day, Christ will present unto his Father a church that is spotless and without blemish. So that tells me that he's working on us. He's working on us, and he's perfecting us. And we're not there yet, but we're going to get there. You hang in there. Don't judge the church yet. Just wait until you see her all dressed up with Christ Jesus our Lord. We have people in this world that looks at the church and points fingers and oftentimes finds fault. And 1 and 2 Corinthians tells us of those faults that we have in the church, and it's here. Imagine this. Imagine in Corinthians that there was a young man that had a stepmother and a father. His biological father, but had a stepmother, and was caught laying with his stepmother in the church. Yeah. Now that's what happened, and the Apostle Paul had to address the fact that the stepson was committing fornication with his stepmother. Now imagine how awful that was in the church, and the church wasn't doing anything about it. They were just letting it ride, and nothing ever said, nothing done, just go ahead and let it happen. But the Apostle Paul said, wait a minute. He said, you can't let that happen in the church. You have to exert discipline among the members and stop that from happening, because it's going to get out in the community that that's going on in the church. And after we had preached that the church would abstain from meats that were given to idols and fornication, but that has come into the church here at Corinth, and they were letting it go, and the Spirit of the Lord was being hindered in the body. So the Apostle Paul said, you have to handle it. He said, deal with it. If you don't deal with it, then the Spirit of the Lord is going to be hindered in the church. And so they did do discipline to that young man. And the Bible tells us that that young man repented, and the Spirit of the Lord was restored back into the church, and the fellowship with God was restored. Imagine that. Think about that now. That happened at the church at Corinth. What's going on in the church today? Amen. Think about what's going on even in the church today. And so we're not a perfect people. We're not a perfect church. But here's what the Apostle Paul gives us in the very last of the letter in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Stand up with me for just a minute. Let me read this one verse to you. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence this morning. We come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you, dear God, for every blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to come into your house and worship you. Father, we thank you for your sweet spirit that we're able to feel among us. We thank you, Lord, for these, our brothers and sisters that are bowed with us. Father, I pray your blessings upon the service today. Lord, may we leave here strengthened in the inner man. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your grace that you said was sufficient for us. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for every blessing. We ask you now that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil and give us power to preach one more time. Lord, that you'd give us words to say. Lord, that your word might go out and prick the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building today. We ask you, Father, to save sinners. Revive the backslider. Lord, I pray now that you'd go with us and help us, Lord, not to be hearers of the word only, but let us be doers of the word of God. We ask you now to go with us in what you do for us. We'll be careful to thank you, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to talk to us this morning, if God will help me for a few minutes, on the thought of my grace is sufficient. The sufficiency of the grace of God. God's grace is glorious. Amen. The Bible said the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. So we know that the grace of God is revealing the very character of God. God is love. And so we know according to the word of God that that love that the Bible speaks of that God possesses is an eternal love. But we find that it's also a sufficient love. After all, the love of God is the greatest of all loves. The Bible said the grace of God is sufficient. Now the Apostle Paul is dealing with the fact that Satan's messenger has buffeted him. And that buffet means to literally be knocked out. Sometimes the devil comes and knocks us out. Sometimes the devil comes and beats us down. Sometimes the devil comes in subtle ways. Sometimes he just eases up beside us and he sits down and begins to whisper doubt in our mind and in our ears. And we begin to believe those doubts. And then sometimes he comes and he whispers worry. He makes us worry because perhaps he tries to convince us that God is not able. But there's not anything that God can't do. God can do anything if we'll trust in him. That's the reason why the Apostle Peter called a faith precious. He said it's precious faith. He said when God's children gather together, he said those that have like precious faith. So we know that the church operates on faith in God. But sometimes the devil comes and buffets us and begins to put doubt how where faith ought to be. And he whispers worry in our minds oftentimes that we worry about things. We ought not worry. God's still in control. God knows everything. And there's not anything that God cannot do. If God can walk on water, surely he can resolve our worries. So sometimes Satan comes to buffet. But God says, my grace to Paul is sufficient for you. When the devil comes to buffet you, sometimes the devil comes and begins to buffet us with disbelief. Amen. With distrust. Sometimes he'll come and he'll say, if God really said that, then he'll do that. Why isn't things any better than what they are? He causes that disbelief. It's the problem that every man has is belief. Amen. Belief will cause a man to go, or disbelief will cause a man to go to hell. Amen. Listen, drinking is not what sends somebody to hell. Drug addiction does not send people to hell. But it's unbelief that causes men to go to hell. They will not believe in the only begotten Son of God. They will not believe in a crucified and a buried and a resurrected Savior. Amen. A crucified where we found forgiveness of sin. Buried, they were cast in the outer darkness. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus gives us life. everlasting and justifies our belief in him. If it ended at the grave, we would end at the grave. But I'm glad it doesn't stop at the grave. I'm glad that God's grace is sufficient to carry us through the grave, out on the other side to glory. Sometimes Satan comes and buffets us and makes us doubt even our salvation. The Bible said if it were possible, amen, to make us doubt that we even were saved. Sometimes the devil comes and sits beside us and he tries to convince us that we're not saved. That if we were saved, we wouldn't be living like we're living. I'm glad that my salvation was never based on my righteousness, but it was based on his righteousness. Amen. That's the reason why I stand in the presence of God, holy and righteous. It's because of Christ Jesus our Lord and his finished work. Amen. The Bible said he became obedient unto God, even to the cross. He became obedient to the cross of Christ. Amen. So now the Apostle Paul said, when the devil comes to try to cast a knockout blow, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that I stand. Amen. Victory. Victorious in the grace of God. Amen. Sometimes our grace, and he said, my grace is sufficient in the buffeting. But he also reminded Paul that his grace is also sufficient in the battles. You notice the Bible said, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. We all have that. Every one of us have something that we battle over. There's something there that we know that just isn't right. And it's like a thorn in the flesh. Amen. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get almost there. Some people sometimes get almost to the shouting ground. And then there's that one last battle to get there. And then we wonder how we leave and we wonder why how we just never got there. Amen. It's because the devil has a battlefield. And we're on that battlefield. We have many battles in life. Amen. They're not easy to confront. How along with those battles bring fear. Sometimes it's a fearful thing to combat the enemy. If you don't think it is, think about this. You have Israel on one side. You have the Philistines on the other side. You have one giant on the other side with a Philistine. He's 9 to 10 feet tall on the other side. And he comes out every morning taunting the children of Israel. And every evening he comes back out taunting the children of Israel. He said, send that man over here that we may fight. And whoever wins the battle, then the others will be the servants. That's what he says. Amen. Something as seemed like as simple as fighting one giant is all it would take. And so now he's morning and night. He comes out every day taunting Israel. Send that man. Well, David runs up to the camp where his brethren are, and he hears this uncircumcised Philistine on the other side taunting them. Well, he turns around and he says to him, he says, what is this? He said, is there not a cause here? There's a battle. All of Israel, Saul and the army, were afraid of that one giant. But David, a little ruddy boy, he comes out and David says, I'll whoop him. While Saul's looking at him, Goliath calls David a dog. Why do you send this little puppy out here to fight such a giant like me? David reminded him. He said, you come to me with a sword and a staff and a shield. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. He wasn't afraid. Why wasn't David afraid? He wasn't afraid because God's grace had been sufficient
in the past in David's life in delivering the sheep from the bear and the lion until he knew that God's grace was sufficient to kill a giant in his life. God's grace is sufficient in your heart, in your life, in the battles. It brings with it fear. It does. Oftentimes we get afraid to fight because we feel like that these battles bring death. They do. Oftentimes battle do bring death. There's most battles in all battles, there's casualty. Wars. We can number the thousands on top of thousands of people have died on the battlefield. Amen. The carnage, the death that's on the battlefield. Sometimes that death is physical, sometimes it's spiritual. I've seen spiritual giants in my life. Amen. Great men of God, great deacons, great lay people. Great people, that church folks that come to church, faithful. But then they got in a battle, a spiritual battle. And the next thing you know, they're no longer serving in the army of the Lord. They have become casualties in the church and casualties on the battlefield. I want to tell you, God tells Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient for you this morning. If you're fighting a battle, I want to remind you, don't fight with fear, but fight with faith, believing that God's grace will carry you through. Paul said, or Jesus told Paul, he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That word perfect means complete. Means there's lacking nothing. That perfecting fills you up from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. Amen? That's where we gather our strength from. When we no longer can go, God gives us the unction to carry on and strengthens us in the battlefields, strengthens us in the buffeting of Satan. I'm going to tell you how God's grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you're going through in your life, God can see you through it. Amen. We don't serve a God that loses us, but we serve a God that keeps us. Amen. Amen. Then we find God's grace is sufficient in his buffeting and in his battles. But he says in verse number 7, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations that was given to me a thorn of the flesh. Sometimes we carry a load of burdens. Paul carried a heavy load of the gospel of Christ. He did. Now I want you to think about something. The Apostle Paul was a Jewish man, religious in the law. He was standing at the stoning of Stephen as a young man, holding the cloak of Stephen while they stoned Stephen to death. You remember that? He was one of them involved in the stoning, but he never got away from it. Never got away from it. It burdened his mind and his heart the whole life till he was saved. And on the way to Damascus, the Bible said he had papers in his pocket to persecute the church. And the Bible said even hauling them away to death, carrying them away to death, that's the kind of man he was. But then on that road to Damascus, all of a sudden was a great light from heaven had shone round about him, knocked him to his knees, blinded his eyes. Amen. And Paul got converted, got born again. And the apostle Paul then became a servant, a worker of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God said, a vessel unto me and a vessel unto the Gentiles. The Jew had now become a vessel to the Gentile, preaching the gospel, the revelation of Jesus Christ and the church, the mystery of the church has came to Paul, and Paul, a preacher of the gospel, went from one place to another place of preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus and setting up the churches and establishing the churches and confirming the churches. Hallelujah! He marched onward, but with a heavy burden on his heart, a heavy load on his heart, went from place to place, and when he set them up, he'd go back from time to time. He sent the letter here in Corinth, the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and he didn't stop there. He said, when you read that letter in Corinth, he said, carry it to Ephesus. When you read it in Ephesus, carry it to Philippi. When you carry it to Philippi, carry it to all the churches that read the letter. And the word of God established, amen, to the church. And we're preaching it today, that God's grace is sufficient in the burden of the church. Amen. You can rest assured, Antioch, we're going up one day. Somebody said, oh, the church is going down. No, it's not. Now, the crowd might go down, but the church ain't going down. The church is going up. They're going to be when Jesus comes back after his church. I'm talking about his church. Amen. They're going to be those that are in the church. They're going to go home to be with Jesus. But they're going to be a whole bunch of folks that's on the church, hanging on. Yeah, they're not going.
Right.
You've got to be born again.
Amen.
Blood bought. Amen.
Amen.
Bride of Christ. The church of the living God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't get dunked in the church. You can't bake enough cakes to get in the church.
Amen.
You can't feed enough hungry people to get in the church. You can't dress enough naked people to get them in the church. They've got to be born again.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back after the born again, blood bought, redeemed of God.
Yeah.
And those that are not saved are not going to heaven.
Right,
he had that great burden for the church and for the sinner. He gave himself for the cause of Christ. We have a great burden, church, to win souls for Jesus.
Amen.
To tell them the good news that Jesus saves.
Amen.
We have that great burden. And that great burden comes with great grace.
Yes.
And grace sufficient. I thought about this precious church here at Antioch yesterday. I never was such a proud pastor in all my ministry as I was at this place yesterday. I'm telling you, these folks labored hard. Hard, they labored hard. And they pushed. And they pushed, and they got together, and they talked, and they loved. And we gathered at 2:30 in the auditorium, began to service and preach, and that little fella come out from the bench by himself,
yes,
made his way to the altar, knelt down, and asked God to save him. And he come running to me and said, God, save me.
Yeah,
I said, tell them about it. He turned and said, the Lord saved me. Hallelujah. That's the real deal. Amen. That's the burden of the church. That's the real church. Amen. It's those that's been birthed into the family of God. I'm a McClellan because I was born into the McClellan family. But I got born again. I'm a child of God. As I stand before you this morning, God's grace is sufficient for you. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. That burden, load he carried, was abundant. This morning, God's grace is sufficient for you. You may feel like you've been buffeted, knocked down to your knees. You ever watched any much boxing? My daddy-in-law used to watch boxing. And while he was watching boxing, he would eat the hair off his arm. Watching the boxing. You remember that? That's how much he got intense with boxing. And they'd box, and that referee, I think that's what you called him, the referee in the ring, The one guy comes and he knocks the other down to his knees. And he runs over there and he says, "Whoa!" That guy's idling around. He said, "Two!" He's idling around in just a minute. He's a staggering. He gets up and they grab him and they carry him over the side just a minute. And they go, he'll say, "Yeah, back in there." And they'll get him back in that ring and here he'll go again. I've seen it look like that he would have been defeated on his knees. But he got up, and when he got up, it done something to him. And he just went wild and knocked the other man out. Hallelujah. We're in a ring fighting, thank God. But we're going to come out victorious because he said, "My grace is sufficient." When the devil goes to knocking you down, he may knock you down, but he ain't going to knock you out. Let's stand. Let's get a song ready.